From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect.
This is Jim Williams. I'm sitting in for Steve Ryman, who will be back with you tomorrow. Steve, always gracious to let me do this once in a while. I'm joined in studio by Ethel Maharg. She is very familiar to all of you as our listeners. She has been directing the Right to Life Committee of New Mexico. She's just run for governor and is, you know, involved at all levels, wants New Mexico to be a safe place for people. And life issues have been at the top of her mind for a long time. We're also joined by Richard Mansfield. He is the pastor of New Beginnings Church, and Pastor Mansfield has been on our show and has touched the hearts of many people as a gifted speaker. And Pastor, I said this to you before, you've had quite a last 3 years.
I tell you, it's been unbelievable.
But
God, I'm still here, brother. I'm still here.
And God's done miraculous things, not only with you, but your son. And yeah. I'm just going to be so excited to hear about Love Life. And we're also joined in studio right now by Miles Bankston. Miles is with Love Life. And we have Daniel Parks, who is the West Coast Regional Shepherd. Okay. And we're going to actually start, Ethel. I want you to talk to us. I know you're going to probably introduce Daniel to us, but we want to hear about Love Life and your organization and why you've decided to help lead that organization here in Albuquerque.
Thank you, Jim. As always, you're so gracious to have me on. I'm really excited about Love Life. When Pastor Josh Kappas and these wonderful people walked into my office one day, I thought, oh, it's another life pro-life group. Mm-hmm. And I thought, great, another one. We had so many. They were coming out of the woodwork. But these people were so different. And their mission is to have the church fully engaged. And so my mission really is going to be to work with pastors to help them engage in the life issue, if you will, the life movement. And because the church has been engaged, sort of, but not as much as they like to.
I need to play off of that.
Yeah.
I feel like, Pastor might tell me to shut up, but I feel like since I've been facilitating things on this show, that our listeners don't mind me saying Christians are not doing all they should be doing. And I'm really excited to hear about an organization that's trying to mobilize the church.
Yes.
Try to get us to listen to the Holy Spirit. I think he's been talking to us for a long time. But the focus on the church and the actions of the church and being involved. And one of the questions I'm going to have Pastor Richard talk about in a few minutes is you're part of his congregation, Ethel, at New Beginnings. And I have to sense that his life might be easier if you weren't as vocal and stuff as you are sometimes.
Poor Pastor.
But I know that he's not going to, he doesn't feel like poor pastor. But when you challenge your congregation, stuff happens, right?
Right, right. Well, he's been great, I have to tell you.
Hey, let's go to Daniel Parks now. Daniel, you're so gracious to join us here on the phone, and we want you to tell us about Love Life, if you would.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. Appreciate an opportunity to share about what God's doing through Love Life. So our mission as an organization is to unite and mobilize the church to create a culture of love and life that results in an end to abortion and the orphan crisis. We really believe that it's the job of the church, not a political organization, not that politics don't play into it. They certainly do. But we believe it's the job of the church to do something about the number one moral issue of our day, abortion. In our cities, if you think about it, where else do we know when innocent humans are scheduled to die and broken and hurting people are showing up, believing the lie that abortion is their only option? There's only one place. Actually, several places in New Mexico, unfortunately, these abortion centers. These are places where broken and hurting people are showing up and innocent humans are scheduled to die. And we believe that what God has given us as a strategy to unite and mobilize the church is a mechanism that God is using and has used and will continue to use to unite and mobilize the most powerful organization or organism, according to the scripture, on the face of the planet, the body of Christ. And we're seeing it. We're seeing God do some pretty miraculous things.
Well, I love the mission. I love the focus. And I'm going to shift right now to Pastor Richard, because what I'm imagining is that Ethel found out about you guys. She talked to her pastor. And Pastor, you're being asked by Ethel Maharg, a member of your congregation. She's done a lot of things. She works the legislature, lobbying people for life, and does that courageously. Because Ethel, even though you might be the nicest person I know on earth, there's people that haven't received your message and your pleading with kindness, right?
Right, right.
But you always smile. So I'm going to ask Pastor Richard, and I kind of have a little joke here or a little tongue-in-cheek, a little fun in mind, but I'm thinking that everything you do, Ethel, is a challenge to Pastor Richard, but he's also got to be blessed at the same time. Pastor Richard, why have you decided to have your church take this courageous stand on life?
You know, Jim, first of all, too many pastors, and I want to address the pastor right now, and even leaders, but primary pastors, think, Richard, why do you get involved in political issues? And I go, this is not a political issue. This is a life issue. This is a biblical issue. This is a scriptural issue. The Bible says we defend life. We defend the voiceless. We defend those that have no voice, have no place. We need to be that people. We need to be the ones that are going to speak up. We're going to step up, and we're going to do that. In the book of James, chapter 1, it says, to know what's right and not do it is sin. And we need to step up and really do things. When Ethel approaches me, she goes, Pastor, oh my gosh. If anyone knows Ethel, she's full of passion, man. And she's there, Pastor. And I go, oh, I wonder what I'm going to get into now. But you know what? It's always something that I want to get into. It's nothing she's ever had to convince me to grab a hold of. Mm-hmm. It's things that I'm already passionate about because I want to see life. Life issues are very real for me. First of all, the life of salvation, getting people to come to know Christ and really have an abundant life. But in that, there's also people that are dying and being murdered every day, being killed every day. They're going to have abortions, and they're aborting babies every single day that literally our leaders, our pastors, our missionaries, our mayors, our presidents, our senators, our congressmen, our leaders in our community that are being aborted. No telling what they're going to be, and yet they don't even have the chance to become that. And my job has been called to defend those that have no voice. I need to speak up. Those that have no legs, I need to walk. Those that have no arms, I need to move and reach out. And that's where my heart's always been. So when Ethel came and told me about Love Life, it was something very easy to embrace. And very honestly, the way I really found out about it is when the overseer that actually called me for Ethel's, I was one of her references. Man, we ended up staying on the phone for like an hour and a half talking about life, not just talking about Ethel, but talking about life. And as we were talking about life, we're talking about Ethel, talking about, because I really believe that pastors today don't want to go into an arena that is really that real fine line, like, is this political? And there's time, like yesterday, we had people taking signatures for referendums that have to be signed. The Christian community and even non-Christian community needs to step up and voice and really say, we are not going to allow this kind of horrible legislature to come through our state. So I said, I started off with an apology. I said, look, guys, I don't like to bring politics to the pulpit, but this isn't about politics. This is about life. Mm-hmm. I go, there's issues that are at hand right now, that right now, HB7, if our kids need an aspirin at school, a Tylenol, the school nurse is not allowed to give that to them without notifying the parent and saying, hey, your kid has a headache or whatever, can we give them an aspirin? But if our child, a son or a daughter, a son says, oh, I got a girl pregnant, I need to get her to have an abortion, or I'm pregnant and I have to have an abortion, the school nurse or the school representatives could take them to an abortion clinic without notifying the parents. Oh. So it doesn't even matter if you're pro-abortion or anti-abortion. I'm definitely a pro-lifer. I don't believe in abortion at all. But even if you support abortion, every parent should be notified of what's going on. Yet, yes, they're passing legislation that's not doing that. So I voice that because, again, Jim, it's not about politics. It's not about a political party. It's not about right wing, left wing, no wing. It's about the Christian body speaking up and taking action and taking forth the gospel, which is life. And it's all about that life being spread across me, New Mexico, because I live here. But I want it spread across coast to coast, border to border.
Pastor, I know, I believe what you say, and I agree. But I just thought of this question. As you look over your congregation, do you think about whether they're Democrats or Republicans or independents?
I know what my congregation is. My congregation is like probably 90% of the congregations in this state. Mm. They're Democratic congregations, okay? My congregation is full of Democrats.
But there might be people right now thinking, oh, the Republicans have all the Christians. And that is just
not
the case.
That is so wrong.
Yeah.
Look, Democrats or there are atheist Republicans, okay?
Yes.
And there are atheist Democrats. There are Christian Republicans and Christian Democrats. So it's not about a party. And people really mistake that. They think one party is this and one party is that. You know what? I really believe that we're supposed to have a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview, look over the facts, look at the platform of any party, Green Party, no party, Republican, Democrat, and say, okay, what do they stand for and what does the Bible say and do that align side by side?
Well, I want to make sure that I also qualify, Pastor, and we're going to talk to you about this in a minute, but there are people that have had abortions that go to your church. There
Absolutely.
Are men that have kind of pressured their girlfriends to have abortions. And there are people, these are people that you love and you care for, and you've even seen many of them go on to do amazing things in ministry. And we're going to talk about that in a little while. So there's no condemnation here. We're just talking about things that people have done. Ethel, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
Believe it or not, we've already blown through the first 15 minutes, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask you about legislation.
Okay.
Pastor mentioned HB 7. I want you to talk about what's happened in like the last 5 years. Like, for example, we're not just talking about abortion. We're also talking about like the Elizabeth Whitefield End of Life Options Act that was passed a couple years ago, HB 47. And you know, these have to do really with euthanasia and assisted suicide. And I mean, stuff that people don't really think about. Mm-hmm. And I think you know this, but my father just recently passed away.
Okay.
And it's hard as a person to see your parent, who was once a powerful man, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, decline to, I mean, he went from 250 pounds to 150 pounds and then be dependent on other people. But how much more so is an unborn child?
Mm-hmm.
And these are people that you're protecting.
Right.
So we're going to come back and talk about all that. Stay with us on ABQ Connect. We'll be right back.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
Jim Williams back with you here on ABQ Connect. Again, a reminder, Steve Ryman will be back with you the rest of the week. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. Tough subject today.
Yeah.
We're talking about life issues, and it creates a lot of emotion, Ethel. And I want you to talk a little bit about the laws that have been passed by the New Mexico legislature, because you've literally done everything God led you to do and everything in your own power and that you thought you should do to try to fight against these bills. Pastor Mansfield mentioned that there is a referendum agenda going on mm-hmm. right now, where some of these bills, most recently passed, can actually be recalled
yes.
if voters will sign a petition with Better Together New Mexico, which is part of the New Mexico Business Coalition. And we actually talked with Carla Sontag about mm-hmm. that, and she was on last Monday, talking with us about that. And I know Steve Ryman had a chance to talk with her as well. So Ethel, tell us about this legislation. And people, you told me this, New Mexico is considered to be the late-term abortion capital of the world.
Of the world. Mm-hmm.
That is just the saddest thing I could even think about.
Yeah, it was a time. I remember having to look it up because we were passing out voter guides throughout the entire state. And we got 350,000 of them out there. Still lost. But the thing is I had to look up, make sure that what I was saying was correct. And it was the one of the abortionists that said that, yes, that they come to her from all over the world to have their abortions and up to late term. And that was up to the day of delivery. And it still happens, not as much as it used to, because Dr. Boyd has stopped. He's now down to 26 weeks. But the Southwest Women's Options is down to that. But, it's still legal in our state to abort a child all the way up to the day of delivery.
But it's not just legal.
No.
There are politicians, including our current governor, mm-hmm. Michelle Lujan Grisham, mm-hmm. who have intentionally made sure
yes.
that people could have what they call women's health care,
right.
reproductive
right.
rights. Well, aborting a child up to the day of delivery doesn't have anything to do with reproduction.
Mm-mm, it doesn't. You know, it's just language that they've used, that they've twisted, and they're experts at it. You know, they're experts at putting together language that convinces people that they have a right, and it's a woman's choice, and it's her body. It is not her body. It's another body. And, you know, the child has no choice. But let me run down real quick about the legislation.
Sure.
We had HB7, all the ones I can remember. HB7 has three parts in it. It's to promote abortion, to promote transgender transition on your kids. And Representative Lane made them finally say that they could do this on an 8-year-old child. So that means that if your 8-year-old child goes to the school teacher, and says, I want to become if he's a little boy, I want to be a little girl, they will begin to take him without your knowledge or consent for the process to begin. And that would be puberty blockers and everything else. And so that's HB7. And then it's got another piece, and that is that you cannot govern yourself. And that's Attorney General Lutoris, and he issued that writ. And those three things together are to codify abortion. But you know what? These communities are standing up and they're saying, no, we're still going to fight for ourselves. The other one is SB 397. They want a school-based health clinic in every single school, and that's so that they can do that to our kids. HB 4 is, let me go over the right ones, the light ones first, okay? Reproductive health provider protection. This one, I call it the SB 13, I call it the Shut Up and Sit Down Act. Because what it is to tell you, we don't want to hear from you. We're protecting the abortionists. You don't have a right to say anything. You cannot say that abortion is wrong. You cannot say that transgender transition is wrong. You cannot say anything. Just be quiet.
And now, these laws have already passed.
They've already passed. They are laws. That's why it's so important that everybody sign those referendums, because we can overturn them. We can overturn these laws if we get 180,000 signatures.
And by the way, the referendum is just asking voters to put these laws before the voters.
Right.
Rather than just depending on the legislators
right.
that have pushed this through the legislature.
Right.
And actually allow the population and the people in New Mexico to vote.
And you know what? I just want to say this. New Mexicans, you have more power than you really think that, than you realize that you do. And so I just want to encourage each and every one of you. There's six of them. You know what? Go to bettertogethernewmexico.org and just go there and find out everything. It's so important, because this is a destruction of the family. And that's why I love what's taking place with Love Life. Because they are coming in here to unite the body, to engage the churches, to engage the pastors. Like our dear pastor here says, come on, pastors, we need you on board. And we want for these pastors to sign up and say, hey, I'm going to be a house of refuge. And because I'm so brand new at this, I think I'd like to have Daniel talk about this, because I love how they put this. This is one of the things that touched me, is that they're reaching out to women so the church can say, we're a safe place. We're a house of refuge. And you can come here instead of going for an abortion. And the one thing that he said it, and I want to make sure he says it again, is that where else on earth do we know of a place that a person is scheduled to die?
Mm.
At the abortion clinics.
Yes.
And we do nothing about it. I mean, I've heard it before, and I don't want to steal the thunder, but they say, if there was a school shooting that we knew about, would we not show up?
Yeah.
Of course we would. Yes. We would all show up, but we're not showing up. So, Daniel, would you speak to that? Because you're much better at this than I am at this moment, anyway.
Well, I'd love to just even kind of echo what you just said. Again, we know the places, we know when, we know where innocent human beings are scheduled to die. And we can be there. The church should be there. We have a responsibility to speak, as Pastor Richard said, to speak for those that can't speak for themselves, mm-hmm. as the Church of Jesus Christ. One of the things we say often is the issue is actually not the darkness, right? Darkness kind of fills in a void, right? The issue is not the darkness. The issue is the absence of light. Mm-hmm. And Jesus told his disciples, and I believe that carries over to us in this very day, he said, you are salt and you are light. And so we're called as the Church of Jesus Christ, individuals, but also congregations, we're called to be salt and light in our communities. And one of the ways that churches can do that is to become a house of refuge. This is sort of based on what you see in Leviticus, where there's these cities of refuge, right, where someone could run to for a place of refuge so that their lives can be protected. We really believe that the body of Christ, that churches should be houses of refuge. We think about New Mexico being an abortion destination, right? People coming from Arizona, from Texas, and other places to have abortions there in New Mexico. And I don't know exactly how many abortion centers are there in the entirety of New Mexico, but there are several there. And like you mentioned, some pretty notorious abortion centers that do abortions, you know, up into 26 weeks. And so it's just grievous what's happening there. But how would it be if we had these abortion centers, as long as they're allowed to stay open? Our prayer is that God will shut these places down, but until they shut down, how would it be if we had these places surrounded by churches that are houses of refuge, churches that are saying, you don't have to go there, you don't have to go to the Planned Parenthood or whatever abortion center that they think they need to go to? No, you can run to us. The reality is, if you look at the statistics, and I know you have, Ethel, is that many of the abortions that are taking place are coming from our churches. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's anywhere from 40 to 60% of all abortions in the United States of America are done on women that claim to be Christians. And as a matter of fact, of about 40% of those that have had an abortion, when they ask the question, this is from a poll done by Lifeway and by CareNet, they asked the question about their church attendance. About 40% of women that had an abortion said that they were in a church attending regularly the month of their abortion. And so not only can churches be houses of refuge where people that don't know the Lord can come and say, will you help me? And these churches will surround them with the love and the care of the local church and invite them in. And like Pastor Richard said, share the gospel with them. We want to see, you know, people discipled in the ways of Jesus, but also houses of refuge will affect people in their congregation, people who are considering abortion within their congregation. When a pastor says, as the shepherd of that congregation, we're a house of refuge. And that house of refuge, I want to encourage all of you that are listening to go to lovelife.org/refuge, and lovelife.org/refuge will kind of give you a breakdown of what it is for a church to be a house of refuge. And again, it really is just the church saying that we will stand for life. And we encourage churches that are houses of refuge for the pastor to read a house of refuge statement twice a year, essentially saying, if you find yourself in an unplanned pregnancy, you can come to us. You don't have to run to the abortion center.
But Daniel,
we're not going to allow people to.
I feel like I have to interrupt at this point. It's my job to stir the pot. Sure. I'm thinking in my mind, and it really has to do with what you just said, is let's take just one scenario. This doesn't just happen to young women. Mm-hmm. This happens, women of all ages have unplanned pregnancies. Let's say that this is a 16-year-old Christian family, 16-year-old girl, Christian family, doesn't tell anybody in the church for Pastor Richard because they're afraid of retribution, of having, sex out of marriage, you name it. And having the pregnancy is literally terrifying. Uh-huh. So they don't tell anybody. How are you going to teach the Christians? And Pastor Richard, you're going to chime into this too, because I know Daniel's already probably thought through this, but why are there so many instructions for Christians to love one another when we should already be doing that?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Daniel?
Well, I mean, one of the issues, of course, is that abortion has been such a taboo issue. You know, churches don't talk about it because in a lot of ways, pastors don't know how to talk about it. There is that issue of, for shepherds, I was a pastor for 9 years. We don't want to beat the sheep, right? We don't want to talk about an issue that has touched people in our congregation that might rip open wounds that are already healing. But the reality is, when we don't address the issue, one lady said, actually, her pastor never spoke about the issue of abortion. He talked about sin. He talked about, you know, repentance and healing from sin, but he never talked about abortion in that context. And so rather than it being healing for her, not ripping open a wound, she assumed that, well, he didn't talk about abortion because it must be the unforgivable sin. Mm. And so one of the ways that we deal with those situations, I mean, we've got to be talking about it, right? We've got to be talking about abortion. We've got to be talking about the value of human life. And that kind of sets the tone within a congregation that when a young lady does find out she's pregnant, she feels open to actually share. Because, again, if you just don't talk about the issue, no one feels open to really share and be honest about their circumstances, whether they have an unplanned pregnancy or whether they have a past abortion.
Pastor Richard, this is going to play right into the questions I was going to ask you, and I'm only going to let you answer one question, then we're going to come back and get some more because
okay. We
got about 3 minutes left of this segment. I'm always amazed when people come forward with their sin. Sometimes there's shame and things that prevent people from coming forward. Sometimes there's condemnation from others that keeps people from coming forward. But when somebody realizes that God is going to take your weakness or God's going to take your sin, and when you confess that sin to one another and we love each other through that, God does amazing things. Have you had that happen to women with these circumstances in your church?
Absolutely. First of all, I'm very transparent with my own life. Mm. And it's usually the things I'm most ashamed of are the things that God always puts right in front of my face saying, what are you going to do about it? There they are. Mm-hmm. The same things you used to do. But one out of every four women in our congregations, one out of every four has had an abortion. Mm-hmm. Ethel and I partnered up in a sermon one time. I did a sermon, and Ethel shared a testimony, and the sermon was healing from damaged emotions. So we weren't just dealing with abortion, but I was really focusing on abortion, and I called it out on abortion. And I handed out an index card to every single person sitting in the pew that day. There were 2,000 people sitting in the pews, and we each got an index card. And I said, if you've ever had any sin in your life you're ashamed of and you've never told anyone, I want you to list that sin. I go, so if you had an abortion, tell me you had an abortion. Tell me how many abortions you had. And then I want you to know how much God loves you, that he forgives you. And I want you to know that I want you to name your baby. Even if you didn't know if it was a boy or girl, I want you to name that baby and give that baby to the Lord and say, God, I'm so broken, but would you hold my baby till I get there? I want you to know we received that day 700 index cards back out of 2,000 people. Some women had had up to 9 abortions. Ugh. 9. I mean, to this day, I'm still broken over that. But the healing that took place that day was powerful. You know, we always say men that forced women. You know that there's some men that their woman had an abortion and they didn't want the abortion. Mm-hmm. I have a man on staff that he got a girl pregnant, and she went and had an abortion, and he came to my house broken and saying, this is before he was on staff, and I just helped raise this guy. I love this man. And he said, Pastor, and he was broken and says, I got a girl pregnant. I'm so embarrassed, but she won't listen to me. She's going to have an abortion. And he was so broken. The damage that it does. I've never had anyone say, I'm so glad I had an abortion and leave me alone. I've heard people say, wow, finally someone gave me a platform to release that pain, to release that guilt, to release that burden, to release that. Pastor, you gave me a place to do that. You gave me a place to put it on paper and look at it as I was writing it out and saying, God, please forgive this sin and please restore me, to see how God has restored women. We had a class of, if you wanted to come to that city of refuge, you wanted to come to a class to find healing for your abortion, and to see the healing that took place for the women that did go. And we didn't even have it at our church. The reason is because, that classroom is of women that had abortions. So we had it off-site because we wanted it to be a real safe place. Mm. We actually have a ministry called Frontline Resurrection Ministry for women coming off the streets, some that have been sex trafficked, some that are coming out of prison, some that are coming out of homelessness, a place to go, some that have found unwanted pregnancy. And sometimes we always think unwanted pregnancy are unmarried people. There's couples that are married that all of a sudden they're like, oh my gosh, we didn't expect to get pregnant. We can't have a kid now. We have had families that have given up children for adoption, and it was the most blessed adoption that you've ever seen. Lives transformed because of it. Lives changed. Jim, I could go on and on. This is a subject that is very dear to me, and I've never been a part of an abortion. I never funded an abortion. I never encouraged an abortion. I didn't take part in an abortion, but my wife used to work in a hospital, and I was with a pathologist, and this woman had been a burn victim, and she lost her baby, and they had to abort the dead baby within her. And I saw this baby that was just a few months old, this little 5-4-inch little baby that was complete, perfect. Mm-hmm. And I looked at that, and I wasn't even a Christian, but I was like, how can people say this is a fetus, a glob of tissue? Oh, man, that was one of those moments in my life, those divine moments that God gave me to impact my life, not to impress me with anything, but to impact me, and never left me the same by seeing this and crying out. So I'm just a fighter of life. I'm a lover of life, and I want people to know, come to know life, find the healing power of God restoring you from damaged emotions. Man, if you've had an abortion, or you funded or encouraged an abortion, mom or dad or son or daughter or brother, sister, or boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife, in the name of Jesus, reach out to the Lord, because he's reaching out to you.
Yes.
His arms are wide open to just heal your broken heart.
We are talking about Love Life and a new ministry, their new ministry in New Mexico, and we have a lot more to talk about, another 30 minutes to go. So stay with us on ABQ Connect. When we come back, we're going to talk to Miles Bengston about an event happening tonight. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect.
I've got a studio full of people here. I've got Ethel Maharg, Pastor Richard Mansfield, and Miles Bengston. He is with us. We also have on the phone Daniel Parks, and they're all with this new ministry, Love Life New Mexico. Pastor Richard is the pastor of New Beginnings Church here in town, one of the courageous churches taking a step up to become a refuge center and to love people regardless of their sin. This is what I heard, Pastor. Miles, you have an event tonight. Tell us about that. What's going on?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. We have a pastor from Charlotte, North Carolina, named Jay Stewart, who's doing what I think is a crazy thing. He's riding a bicycle from Southern California all the way to the Atlantic Ocean in South Carolina to raise awareness for the life issue, to mobilize the church, to raise awareness for this ministry, Love Life. And so he is riding hard from Grants, New Mexico to Albuquerque today, and he will be hosting an event tonight. So this journey he's on, we call Life Ride. And tonight he'll be talking about the House of Refuge program through Love Life. So you can go to lovelife.org/liferide to RSVP. And this event will be at 6 p.m. at Pastor Mansfield's church.
Any charge for the event?
Nope, it's free, but we would ask that you RSVP through that link. And this is really targeted at pastors, people who are invested in their church, would be interested in helping to make their church a house of refuge. If you say, I want to be a place where young men and women run to my church instead of from my church to the local abortion center, then we invite you to come out.
Yeah, and I think I need to play off of that. Running to an abortion center, there's a lot of money, isn't there, involved, Ethel, yes, with abortion centers. And of course, Love Life is making a ton of money preventing abortions, right? I'm being facetious.
Yeah,
I'm being facetious, obviously. No, there's literally millions and billions of dollars. Right. In fact, whenever you, quote, follow the money, right, in elections, you will see that Planned Parenthood is investing millions and millions of dollars, mm-hmm, with pro-abortion candidates, yeah, in every state.
They do.
In the country. So, Ethel, I want to talk to you about running to a church, and Pastor Mansfield already expressed the compassion he has as a pastor in leading New Beginnings Church, and you need other churches to worry more about the condition of that pregnant woman, you know, how she got pregnant, whether that was sin or whether this is a married couple. What you're really worried about is when you go into an abortion clinic, there's a sales organization,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and they're talking you into, oh yeah, we can do this really quickly. We can make sure it's safe, which by the way, isn't always true.
Right.
Maybe not true half the time. I mean, there's a lot of data that goes into all of this. And when I say it's not safe all the time, 50% of the time, maybe it's more than that, because nobody talks to a young woman about the emotional,
right,
spiritual impact of this abortion.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Now, you know, the other night I was actually at Edgewood testifying on behalf of them while they were passing their ordinance. And there was a gentleman who they had an abortion 45 years prior, and he went to testify and talk to them about what had happened, and he's still grieving. He says, I think about that baby every single day, 45 years. And Representative, oh my goodness, Andrea Romero was there. And she said, which got me a little hot under the collar, because she says, there is no emotional trauma. And I'm like, really? I said, go ask that man back there. Mm-hmm. And because that man is still in pain over it. Because, Jim, you never get over the loss of your child.
Yes.
And that is what people need to understand. Is
even if you plan their demise.
Even if you plan their demise, you will never get over the loss of your child. You might be able to stuff it. You might be able to try to do a lot of other things to cover up that, you know, be a little crazy in your work like I was. I'm just, you know, saying, because just trying to cope with what you have been part of. And so, no, you never get over the loss of that child, never till the day that you die, until you get to go see that baby again. So yeah, that's probably the biggest danger that happens. Even if you survive, and, you know, the pro-aborts, you know, Planned Parenthood, all the abortion people, they're going to tell you, oh, my goodness, you could never finish school. You could never have that career. You could never. That's not true. And I used to tell the girls when I worked at CareNet, I said, you know what? It is not the big eraser. It does not make things go away, and it does not change everything. It just doesn't change it back to normal, because the fact when a woman is pregnant, the fact that she's pregnant means she will never be the same, no matter what she chooses, whether she chooses to parent, to place for adoption, or to abort. Her life will never be the same. She needs to understand that it's not going to go away. It's just going to be different. But for her to run to the church would be better. And that's why we have to create places of refuge where they know that they're safe. And I got the opportunity to have one girl run to me after she had become pregnant, after she had an abortion. She'd given her testimony. She comes, we're having a sale at the church. And she comes and she says, I just knew to get off here and I knew to look for you. And she says, is this you? Because she'd given her testimony. And she's showing me a text. And I said, yes, that's me. And she said, because I told her, because I couldn't be there. But I encouraged her, told her how proud of her I was. She gave her testimony. And then she says, I need to talk to you. I'm pregnant again. And she was worried that she was going to be judged by the church.
Mm.
And I said, don't you dare worry about that. I said, I'm here. If nobody else is here, I'm here for you. And her boyfriend wanted the baby. And so I'm like, you know what? You're good. If anybody says anything to you, you come to me because yeah. I'll be there for you. So, and that's what they need. They need to know that there is at least one person in their corner, you know, and the, what a better place is the church. And, you know, what I love about Love Life is that they're kind of like a, for lack of a better term, a clearinghouse. You know, I mean, it's like they have Embrace Grace. They do, they help with post-abortion healing. They have just everything that you could need in that time of need. And so I'm just so happy to be part of them.
So now. Love Life is also a refuge for people that have had an abortion.
Yes. Yes.
And you can have refuge. Pastor Richard, how would you love on a woman that is hurting because they've had an abortion? Maybe they had an abortion 3 days ago. Maybe they had one 20 years ago. Are they both welcome at your church?
Most definitely. You know what? I would hope that I would be the Jesus that they need to see, that I would reflect him, that I would reflect the Jesus that the woman caught in adultery was brought to him, and he didn't pick up a stone to stone her. Mm-hmm. He shielded her. He protected her. He loved her. And he told her, now, don't go back to what you're doing, but start a brand new life. Have a new beginning. Mm-hmm. Have a new start. And know you're forgiven. Know you're loved. Know that God has a special plan for you. Even with this detour, God has an amazing plan. And I would just try to encourage her of how much God loves her and how much we as his church want to show her love and support in whatever means we can. So we'll partner with different ministries. We've partnered with CareNet for many years. We've partnered with New Mexico Right to Life Committee. We've partnered with ministries that are helping restore people and show them God's love. And the people that are doing that, we kind of live off of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, where it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort, the God who comforts us in our time of affliction so that we might be able to comfort others in their time of affliction with the same comfort we have received from God. You know what? We're all broken people. We're all messes that God has put together. And that's what we try to be. I tell everyone that New Beginnings Church is trying to learn how to live without a mask on. We're trying to be genuine. Mm-hmm. And in our genuine life, people are going to see the scars that we bear. They're going to see the wounds that we carry that God has healed. And we got to remember that every scab we carry, every scar we carry is a reminder that God healed a wound that was open at one time.
Mm-hmm. Daniel, we still have you on the phone?
Yeah. Can I say?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I'm one of those girls that this pastor that I ran to.
Yeah.
Because I ran to him when I was going to my post-abortion healing. Mm-hmm. And that day I wanted to tell him. This is not the way I wanted to tell him, but I was driving. I said, Pastor, I have to tell you where I'm going. And you know what he said to me? I'll never forget. He says, Ethel, I love you, and I don't think any less of you. Mm-hmm. And all those words just heal me, you know. And so because of that, he's helped me to be able to go to the places that I've been.
Yes.
You know, it's those kind words, that house of refuge. You never know what kind of crazy woman you'll turn out, you know, like this one.
Yeah.
So Daniel, go ahead.
Well, and I wanted to ask Daniel, what is it that you want churches to do? What action are we calling them to today?
Yeah, well, good question. I appreciate the question. So I would say first and foremost, not just a shameless plug for our website, but I would say first and foremost to visit our website, lovelife.org. And if you're a pastor of a church or if you want your church to get involved, go to lovelife.org/refuge and find out what it is to become a house of refuge. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Essentially, it's a church saying that we're a place that you can run to. We have trainings that correspond with all of that. What we ask from the church is that the pastor be willing to read a House of Refuge statement twice a year and then designate someone as the House of Refuge representative, the person that really runs that ministry within their local church. because we don't want to put it on the shoulder of the pastor. Pastors have so many things that they're doing, and so someone that they trust to be the representative of someone that we'll pour into, pour our resources and knowledge into, to equip them to do everything that is included with being a house of refuge. You know, of course, we want the church praying. And one of the things that we're going to begin, and Ethel's going to be leading this there in Albuquerque, is weekly what we call adoption weeks, where churches, churches like Pastor Richard's churches, churches that want to stand for life in their community, would adopt a week of our 40-week Journey of Hope, where in that adoption week, they would focus on Sunday of their adoption week, the pastor preaching a message on life, and then Ethel or someone on the Love Life team there locally would come and share the tragic truth of abortion and what that church can do. And that church on Wednesday of their adoption week would pray and fast, commit to pray and fast for the issue of abortion and life in their city. And then their adoption week would culminate on Saturday with a prayer walk at the local abortion center. We're not out there to protest. We're not yelling at anyone. We're out there really just to worship and to pray and to see what God will do when the church shows up. So Ethel's going to begin to be reaching out to churches in the area. She's already done that, but really rallying churches to adopt a week of our 40-week Journey of Hope. And the hope is that we'll have 40-plus churches from all different denominations that are willing to stand for life and be out there and be a light in their community.
I love that. Pastor Richard, I'm going to go to you because so much of this has to do with pastors, but I'm a retired banker. So when somebody tells me that a quarter of Christians have been involved some way with abortion, I can't help but think about a quarter of the congregation at Calvary Church is 3,700 people. Calvary's going to need a few more than one volunteer to be involved with this. Pastor, you've got to have 800,000, 1,500 people that could be affected some way by this. I mean, there's just a lot of people. Sure. And I'm just talking about the people you've identified as Christians that have had abortions. For non-Christians to come to the church, that's another bunch of people. So I'm so encouraged. Ethel, people don't, our listeners know you well because you've been on the show quite a bit. But for you to talk about your own experience with abortion, and then God's used you in a mighty way, that's you're not the exception. You're God's rule. He's going to do wonderful things if you just come forward with whatever it is that you've done. Am I wrong about that, Pastor?
No, not at all. I think, you know, just last week, a 17-year-old girl and an 18-year-old boy from my congregation, I called them into my office because someone had told me that she had posted on social media that she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I know these two kids, and I called them in and I said, hey, guys, look, I go, I don't like rumors. I don't like hearing stuff secondhand, thirdhand, but a rumor was brought to me, but it really isn't a rumor. It's something that they saw that you posted. And I just want to know, is there any truth to the fact that you might be pregnant? And she said, yes. And she goes, I go, have you had any kind of a test done? She goes, well, I did a home test and it came out negative, but I'm having all these symptoms and blah, blah, blah. And I said, first of all, I go, man, I love you kids. I love you. I love you. I love you. And I stood up and I go, please let me give you a hug. And I hugged her and then I hugged the boy. And I said, now look, there's some people that are going to tell you an abortion is an option. I want you to know that that's really murder. And I go, and for a Christian, it's not an option. I go, so I hope that you won't entertain that. I go, let me tell you, these are the options that a Christian should have. First, you can keep the child. If you don't think you could keep the child, we will help you find a fitted family that is going to give that child the best life they could possibly have. We're going to work with you with CareNet, a ministry that we support and we're partnering with. They're going to give you free pregnancy tests. They're going to be able to coach you. There's classes, and if you guys go together, they give you these little,
I call them like monopoly money, but you gather money for going to classes. Basically, they're paying you because at the end of your classes, you get to go in this little store they have. You could buy cribs, you could buy walkers, you could buy all these things, resources that these kids are going to need and their parents. So we showed them there was another way aside from abortion, but I mentioned abortion. I want their pastor to tell them this is something people are going to tell you, but it's wrong. And then I gave them a bunch of options that they could choose from. I just want people to know that we really have the solution to these problems.
Yes.
We really do. And we as God's people need to extend that love. Jim, I thank you for your boldness, for having us on. Thank you.
You're welcome. And we're blessed to have you all here. I'm going to let Miles have the last word. Challenge our churches. You got about 1 minute.
Sure. I would say for a long time, New Mexico has been known as a destination where people come from all over the country and all over the world to this city. So you can feel the darkness in this city if you stand on the sidewalk outside of some of these abortion centers. But the Bible says Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so wherever there's death or decay or pain in your life or here in our city, we're calling on churches to rise up and rally to the front lines and let Jesus display his power. And you can experience firsthand that resurrection and life in your personal life and here in our city and in our state.
You'll find our listeners are faithful prayers. They're also faithful to help and get the word out. And this will be the first time we have you on the air, and we'll be committed to having you on some more about this. Ethel and Pastor Richard, thank you so much. Daniel, thanks for staying so patiently on the phone. Miles, we're blessed to have you as well.
Thank you. And please come out. Please come out.
Tonight, what time?
6 o'clock, New Beginnings Church.
6 o'clock, New Beginnings Church. Address?
It's 4770 Montgomery Boulevard Northeast, directly across the street from the Women's Hospital, right behind the Raising Cane's restaurant that just finished opening last week. Okay. So come on, guys. Come on out, and we're going to see you tonight, 6 p.m. Please go to the website, sign up, and if you don't even have a chance, show up anyway.
Amen. Thank you both.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Much. Appreciate it. God bless you.
God bless you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Steve Ryman will be back tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining us today on ABQ Connect.